Ted Elliman has been engaged in botanical work in New England and other northeastern states for over 30 years. He is a plant ecologist for the New England Wildflower Society in Framingham, Massachusetts. Previously, he worked as an ecologist for the National Park Service and has written numerous articles on botanical subjects for conservation organizations, scientific journals, and state and federal environmental agencies. His new book, Wildflowers of New England, is for hikers, naturalists, gardeners, and anyone wishing to learn more about the region's diverse wildflowers, or just wanting to know the answer to, what's that plant? Ted will lead a wildflower talk and sign copies of his new book at Manitoga, the Russell Wright Design Center in Garrison, New York, this Sunday, June 5th, from 1:30 to 3:30. Again, the name of the book is Wildflowers of New England, and we welcome Todd Elliman to the roundtable this morning. Ted, thank you very much for Ted, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, Joe, thank you very much. A pleasure to be on your program.
Very nice to have you with us, Ted. Give us an idea of how the book came out of cataloging all of these species.
Yes, well, the book is really based on a couple of things. One is that the New England Wildflower Society, before commencing on this book, developed a website which shows images and gives textual descriptions of all the vascular plants in the six-state New England region. That includes trees, grasses, ferns, club mosses, as well as wildflowers. And sort of along with that, a technical manual written by Arthur Haynes for the Wildflower Society, which also covers all the plants in New England, was published in 2011. So with those two components, the Wildflower Society decided with Timber Press to go ahead with a wildflower guide that would be more designed for, you know, beginners, the general user, and focus on the plants with the showy wildflowers in the region. Not all the plants, but that subset that people are attracted to that just have beautiful blooms in natural habitats.
So now for the big question that I'm sure you're asked more than any other on the subject, and that is, what is the difference between a wildflower and a weed?
That's a great question, which I hear all the time. I don't really make the distinction. weed is, if it's growing in natural conditions, a wildflower. There are many definitions of what a weed might be generally. I mean, people say a weed is just a plant in a place where you don't want it to be. But I think when we think of weeds, really, we think of plants maybe such as dandelion or Queen Anne's lace, which are introduced plants, most of which have come from Eurasia, which kind of spread into disturbed habitats or into lawns, et cetera. But these are certainly all in my book because many of these, because they do have showy blossoms and they occur in natural habitats. So they, as well as the native wildflowers, are in my wildflower guide.
Given the geographic makeup of New England and the fact that you go from southern Connecticut and Massachusetts to the northern reaches of Maine, obviously there are huge differences in what we see, I would assume.
Yes, there are huge differences in the types of plants that grow, say, in the mountains of Maine or New Hampshire, and those that grow in the coastal region of Connecticut or Rhode Island or Cape Cod. So there's actually a great, given the sort of the geographic range of the region and also the elevational range from, say, the White Mountains or the Green Mountains or the mountains of Maine right down to the coast, and plants that are adapted to specific habitats within the region, there's a great variety of plants in the six states, and which I should add, since I'll be giving a talk in New York, and what is the relevance to, you know, plants in New England, that an awful lot of these plants that are in my book, I mean, virtually all of them also occur in New York State. So anyway, yes, there are a great variety of natural communities, variety of environmental conditions, and different plants associated with these different habitats.
When you have the talk at the Garrison, I mean, you make an interesting point, because we're often lumped into New England because of our closeness and the being the anti-city areas of the Hudson Valley and northern New York. So when you think of the wildflowers that are prevalent not only in the Hudson Valley, but also in the Berkshires, as well as northern Connecticut, what do we see typically?
Well, I should just say that that part of western New England that borders New York, particularly, say, the Berkshires or much of Vermont and northwest Connecticut, have soils that are somewhat different from the rest of New England. There's marble bedrock or lime, kind of a lime-derived bedrock that underlies much of that region. So the soils in that part of New England, and this also covers much of adjoining New York, have a higher pH. They're sweeter soils. So you see a different kind of flora and often a much richer flora. So, for example, plants that would be blooming in profusion, spring plants in the region would be species like bloodroot, red trillium, Jack in the Pulpit, you'll certainly see a lot of that. Spring Beauty, Blue Cohosh, a number of these very early spring blooming plants are especially prolific in the western New England and kind of that eastern New York region.
I don't believe that I've ever heard the term sweet soil before. Is that in just relation to the pH?
Yes, I'm talking about that in terms of the pH. And, you know, that would be a pH that's close to, you know, the median of 7.0. So soils in that region, what I'm referring to, sweet or basic soils, would be around a 6 to a 6.5 generally, compared to much of the rest of New England where it's closer to a 5 or a 5.5. So quite a difference.
Now, the area that you cover in this book is certainly our listening area. This is the area that we cover. So I think I'm on pretty safe ground in asking this question. But when you look at what we have here in terms of wildflowers, is it better than most of the rest of the country?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Do we win the competition?
Boy, that's a value question. I suppose it depends on how chauvinistic about the region I am, but I wouldn't say necessarily so. I think the region does have, as I mentioned before, an awful lot of topographic difference and habitat difference. But you can take other regions of the country, you know, the Southeast, for example, the Pacific Northwest, or many other regions of the country, and you would find basically an equivalent amount of diversity, floristic diversity, within a similar area, certainly for, say, the Pacific Northwest, and even more so where you have a warmer climate in the southeastern states. So I think we do have a wonderful flora, but you know, other regions of the country do as well.
It was a very diplomatic answer.
Yeah.
I like it. It was a very diplomatic answer, Ted.
Okay.
All right. So when we talk about how we use the guide, and one of the things that you make very clear in the book, as I mentioned in the introduction, of whether you're a hiker or a naturalist or a gardener or just learning, you know, wanting to learn more, we have beautiful wildflowers. We have some incredible things. Why do you think we enjoy wildflowers? Why do you think so many of us are interested in what is growing?
Well, I think people are just interested aesthetically, first of all. So just seeing these attractive blooms in the forest in early spring after winter has just left, and seeing this proliferation of blossoms on the forest floor, and also in the meadows, especially later in the season, seeing this great variety of color in meadows. I think it just attracts interest and attracts just people's eye and attention. And the more you started paying attention to these flowers, the greater sort of sense of identification and curiosity you develop, and the more you want to know about them. I mean, I didn't come to plants really until I was in my mid-20s, and it suddenly, you know, a whole world kind of opened up to me. I just became more and more curious and just interested in this great variety that I was seeing on the landscape. And I think people come, you know, have an interest in sort of coming from that source too, just the attractiveness of these plants, opening up a sense of identification and curiosity and a desire to extend knowledge about these marvelous components of our natural ecosystems.
Ted Elliman will lead a wildflower walk and sign copies of his book at Manitoga, the Russell Wright Design Center in Garrison, New York, this Sunday, June 5th, from 1:30 to 3:30. Again, Ted's new book is Wildflowers of New England. It is a Timber Press field guide. Is it difficult to do a field guide and to keep it all straight?
Yes, well, the book was about 3 years in the writing. Yes, it was. It was. You know, there are a couple of just issues that came up in the writing, and one is the key is organized, first of all, by flower color. And while most species, or many species, a majority of species, basically come in one color, there are species that have more than one color. They may be blue or they may be white. So I did have to think a bit and just make some choices about where in the key I would put those species that are represented often in the field by more than one color. And the same applies to the leaves, so that the key is based on the flower, color of the flower structure, and the pattern of the leaves. Some plants have leaves with quite a variety, too. So just doing that required some attention to detail and just sort of consulting a number of sources, my own knowledge and herbarium specimens. So, yes, it was sometimes difficult to keep things straight and to feel I was getting them right in terms of classifying them according to the key in the book.
Ted Elliman will lead a wildflower walk and sign copies of his new book at Manitoga, the Russell Wright Design Center in Garrison, this Sunday, June 5th, 1:30 to 3:30. The book is Wildflowers of New England and is a Timber Press field guide. You can find out more information along with a link to this interview by going to wamc.org/roundtable. Ted, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you very much, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.